All right. Now, make sure you guys don't overcompensate for traffic, because if you do, you might end up accidentally deleting your recording packages, and we're going to have to start this over tomorrow.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTF at TFW. It's Saturday, which means I'm full of pep and vigor, and I'm joined by Aaron.
Hey, not so much pep or vinegar, but some here.
That's all right. I don't even like vinegar anyway, so you're, in my opinion, you're even cooler. Like,
yay?
Why put vinegar on chips?
That's a question that I don't think needs to be answered, because there is no correct answer for it.
Oh man, I forgot that you're actually, like, this is one of those food times where you're on my side. TJ Omega, where do you fall on vinegar on chips?
More of a sour cream and onion guy.
Thank goodness!
Sorry, I'm excited. Follow the vinegar on chip thing. I don't.
I don't want sour chips! They're potatoes! Like, it's... Sour cream is not sour cream. I mean, it's a little bit tart, maybe, but it's not sour cream. I don't want to pour, like, balsamic vinegar, literally acid, onto my chips. It's, yeah.
So here's a question. What do you think about the places that have, like, malt vinegar for you when you have French fries?
I think it's nice that they have it as an option on the table for the deranged. I don't use it myself.
Good.
I like to have ketchup, sometimes mayonnaise, sometimes an aioli with my French fries. Hey, gravy too. Not as often. I'm not as big on gravy with French fries, but time and place for everything. There's probably a time and place for vinegar on chips, but not in my mouth. Hi everyone. We're here to talk about Transformers. We're here on the cusp of a milestone event in this fandom, which is that the BotCon 2015 registration actually happened, for real.
Yeah.
People have paid money and have a ticket to the show now. So, I guess you could say that a large chapter of this year's discussion is now behind us. The long national nightmare or something. There's also a shuttle service set up, which if anyone has been listening, you'd know that was actually my biggest rant point, was the lack of a defined way to get from either airport to St. Charles. Thing you should know now, XV, Chris RTXV on Twitter, wrote a fairly lengthy breakdown of the actual route currently in place for the shuttle service that was listed on BotCon's website. Because there's two major airports in Chicago, O'Hare and Midway. I'm reading some of this off of Chris XV's post. I usually go to Midway because that's I like Porter Airline. They go to Midway. So from either of those, you got to take one of Chicago's L trains to a specific stop in the city, then disembark and walk the rest of the way to Ogilvy Transportation Center, where you'll board a commuter train to Geneva, Illinois, which is about a 1-hour trip. And then once you're there, about a mile away from St. Charles, you'll then be picked up by the hotel shuttle service for the BotCon Hotel, which is a 2-hour trip, and those shuttles are based on availability. They will not arrive after 10 p.m., and they also have to be available. And the bus and the train will total around $10 for the tickets. XV has noted that you might want to consider skipping the walk between the L train and the Ogilvy Transportation Center and try to get a taxi. It'll cost you a bit more, but assuming you've actually come with luggage, that might be the thing you'll want to do. There are more shuttle options coming, is what we've been told. And I was just looking at it over here. There is another option up on BotCon's site now, which is that they are going to try to have private car service available. Or are they just listing links to private car services?
No, they're listing places where you can reserve private cars.
All right, so that is the other option then.
For a second there, I thought they're just linking to Uber.
No, they were linking to ones that have flat rates.
I'm not going to look through all these right now, but I assume the flat rates are at least one of these places nominal.
$66 to $80.
That's
for one of them.
That's less than the taxi ride, right, from the airports? Because that taxi ride,
I would hope so, especially if you're splitting it.
Someone priced the taxi, I think, to be around $100.
I could maybe see that.
So that should save a little bit of money. Nonetheless, I want to lay out, if anyone out there's going to BotCon, try to figure out if you know anyone else going who may also either be driving or has rented a car. And basically, I would highly recommend everyone going to BotCon, try to set up some kind of carpooling, maybe start a thread about it if there isn't already one. See if anyone out there going to the show is going to try to offer their own shuttle service for, say, $50, as I saw someone saying on Facebook at one point, partly as a joke, but maybe not so much now. That is definitely something you're going to want to figure out well in advance of your flight. There's not going to just be a desk you can go to saying, I need to shuttle to this hotel at the airport. That will not be a thing. So, while BotCon appears to be trying to sort out more options, I would not rely on that being a 100% reality. That is going to happen. If you can carpool, that would be probably the best thing. And then you get to drive with some fellow fans and talk about Transformers while you're in a car. That may well be a Transformer itself. Who knows? So yeah, the registration for BotCon is up. The day after it went up, I put up a supplemental podcast talking to Colin from TFCon, wherein I discovered TFCon's registration has also been up for a little while. I don't know how those guys pulled off that magic, but there you go. Looking around at some other conventions, I believe Auto Assembly's registration is also up somehow, and TF Expo... Mm-hmm. A show happening in August has their registration up. I don't get how they did that either. I think they're probably paying like hacker groups from, you know, China or something to pull that off.
It was absolutely stunning to me when I realized that my summer convention, MetroCon, is in 2 weeks, so about a week off from BotCon.
So registration's happening next week, I'm guessing.
No, they just ended their registration.
Well, but they can't end it before they start it. That's silly, the amateurs. Doesn't make any sense. How's anyone supposed to register for their show if it's already closed?
By doing it in January.
Yeah. You're a comedian. I like that. That's funny. That's the show having their stuff ready in January. Oh, anyway. Yeah, we're a funny podcast. You know, we try to bring some comedy to the fandom here and there. So, you know, hope you all laugh with me there. Our first discussion topic is about something that actually is probably going to be happening at BotCon in terms of finding out the winners. Transformers Hall of Fame is live with the final voting on the official Transformers app, which I still don't actually have.
You're not missing anything.
If you want to vote, the three categories up right now are favorite Transformers character, best combiner, and best musical act. So let's talk about what we think about who might win out of these. It's three choices per category. So favorite Transformers character, Galvatron, Optimus Primal, or Prowl. One thing I like to do with these is try to figure out if there's like a setup going on. I feel like Optimus Primal might be a setup, given that Beast Wars Megatron's already in there, and that this would be a way to get Gary Chalk into the Hall of Fame. But who knows? Do you guys have any, like, Aaron, what do you think's happening here?
I think it'd be Primal. Just, it's like, okay, all right, character.
Good guy leader.
And another character.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, listen, Galvatron's got a tapestry behind him. There's also maybe a little movie you heard of called Age of Extinction. There's a Galvatron character in that as well. That movie made $800 billion, so I might be exaggerating a little bit. TJ, what do you think's going to happen with this? Who do you think favorite Transformers character may well be?
I'd really favor Optimus Primal on this one.
You feel like he's got the people's vote behind him?
When it's a strong Beast Wars character, I tend to think, yeah, there's always that pocket of fans that remember that series so well. And by pocket, I mean most sane ones.
Do you feel that putting him in against Galvatron and Prowl might have stacked his odds a little bit?
I'm not entirely sure about that, because I know a lot of people who really like Galvatron. Like, I believe that one is a very convincing candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Prowl's just kind of a prick most of the time.
Prowl has a lot of very devoted fans on a rock star level, though. He's like a Starscream, where there are people who just love Prowl, and they want to hang out with Prowl. They want body pillows with Prowl. They want pictures with Prowl. Yet, like, much like with Starscream, I feel like it's a rock star thing where, you know, if they got to know the person, maybe they wouldn't be so into it. I don't know.
Well, you get to know Prowl. Do you know Prowl?
Yeah, he flips tables over. That's like his, ever since G1, that's been his defining characteristic.
I feel like just because he is a year one character, that's where he gets most of his credibility.
Yeah, I guess so. He's like the Fair Lady Zed robot. Well, in Best Combiner, we've got Bruticus, Devat Stator, and Predaking. In the fandom, I would say in amongst the hardcores, this is actually a real split vote. Those are three of the most popular combiners ever. Like, those are the three everyone wants toys of. I think extending past the hardcores, Devastator's probably taking this, but that's a pretty nicely close list of, like, fan-votable characters, in my opinion. I don't know. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, it all seems like it's the, when you say combiner, it's those three. I'm kind of surprised that it wasn't two of those and then an Autobot in there.
Yeah, well, at the same time.
Just, so it's not necessarily coverage, although, yeah, at the same time, it's the Decepticons are known for their combiners, and it just happens with Autobots.
Mm-hmm. And TJ, who do you think is coming out on top in those three?
For that, I think it's got to go to Devastator.
He's got the toy, like, push, too, right?
He's got the toy push. He's the original. It's the legacy of the combiner. You know, among fans, you know, if you just talk, like, what the coolest one is, you're going to end up with Predaking more often than not.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like Devastator's just got more of a sentimental value. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, that takes us to Best Musical Act. Now, here's one where I had to do a bit of Googling. Ann Bryant, Vince DiCola, and Weird Al Yankovic. Ann Bryant is the composer who wrote the theme for the Transformers, as well as music for Gem and the Holograms, and a bunch of other 80s properties. So she comes from the 80s era. Vince DiCola, of course, is the guy who did the score for the 86 movie. Weird Al Yankovic had a song appear in the 86 movie, and I somewhat question that maybe he's in there because those are three names. And I don't know. I feel really weird seeing Weird Al in there for musical act, because he only ever... It was like 10 years before he even, like, was notified the song was in the Transformers movie, wasn't it? Like, it was just his was label put it in there.
I think, yeah.
So, I feel weird about him being in there. I feel like this is the one that's kind of constructed for Vince DiCola to get into the Hall of Fame right after Stan Bush. Though I would love to see Ann Bryant get the credit as well. I feel like this is built for Vince DiCola. Aaron, did you know who Ann Bryant was going into this, or were you a Google?
I had
like
no
me?
Idea who Ann Bryant was. It was a Google.
Did you feel bad like I did? I felt kind of bad.
A little bit?
Yeah. I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. You wrote the theme song and I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
I felt like a scumbag. You don't have to go that far, you know. I have my own issues.
I didn't feel scumbaggy, but it was like, oh, that's an important name that nobody knows. Hopefully, this will be nice for it.
Yeah. Do you think this is a one and done for Vince DiCola, or do you think that we've got a bit of a voting war going on here?
I don't know. I could see a bunch of people going for Weird Al because, hey, it's Weird Al, yeah.
I would feel really weird if he won Best Musical Act in Transformers for the Hall of Fame.
I would, too.
Because he wasn't. Like, I like him a whole lot, but that's not the award for him. TJ, what about you? How do you feel about the Weird Al aspect of this, or the Ann Bryant, or the Vince DiCola aspect?
It's definitely... I'll give it credit for this. It's three very, very different options.
Yes, that's true.
It wasn't like, okay, let's put in every band member who on the original movie soundtrack that wasn't, Stan Bush.
Yeah, and it's not just like Linkin Park and or Steve Jablonski in there.
Yeah. So I'll give it credit for that. It's all legacy stuff. It's all from the original series and all that. And it's very different people. If this is just coming down to voting and voting is the only option, it's going to be Weird Al, because it's going to come down to, like, popularity.
What's the video going to be, though? Like, just the clip from the movie when they played Dare to Be Stupid?
Probably.
Yeah, that's, like, it. Like, and if they start mixing in, like, him as Wreck-Gar and animated, that's kind of like, you could have just given him a voice actor thing here.
Yeah.
He's not singing when he's Wreck-Gar. He's speaking.
Well, that's what the video is going to be. It's going to be clips of Wreck-Gar to make it look like he's singing Dare to Be Stupid.
What if they start... Oh, God, yeah. What if they try to just, like, nullify the Eric Idle aspect of Wreck-Gar and just imply, like, hey, he was Weird Al all the time. Don't you know that?
Not that Weird Al. Not that Wreck-Gar.
Oh, okay.
Other Wreck-Gar.
Mix the two together. I don't know. I think it'd be funny if they just, like, used a bunch of 86 clips as well. We're like, he's always been Wreck-Gar. So you can vote on that on the in the official Transformers app. I assume they will reveal the winners at BotCon. Probably make some interesting video packages to go with those. So I realized we didn't talk that much about the Hall of Fame this year. Partly in my case, it's a lack of interest up until this part when they actually have locked in the final voting options. Because before that, it's like polls on every fan site, and it's kind of a sprawling mess, in my opinion. As someone trying to spectate it all, I saw a lot of signatures, you know, going like, "Hey, vote for this guy," and that was cool. But I didn't keep up with a lot of the pre-final round stuff. Are either of you guys going to vote, or is that rude? Is that the thing I'm not supposed to ask people about who they're voting for?
I would have to re-download that app that is nothing but trying to get me to buy toys that I have already bought.
And polls.
It'd be nice if I could be like, no, look, I've already bought all of Combiner Wars. You don't need to tell me that I need to go here. Oh, here's a convenient link to Hasbro Toy Shop. No.
Well, you could buy four extras out of Combiner Wars, so, you know, Galvatronus is always limbed up. You don't have to steal limbs from other guys. See?
Yeah, that's okay.
See? All right. Well, those of you listening, if you want to take part in all that, you can. So, you know, make your voices be heard and, I don't know, swing the ballot however you want to. It seems like there's a whole lot of, there's a nice, choice in here overall, despite there being some pretty obvious stacked odds in a couple categories. Going on from there, let's talk some new picture picks. There's been some stuff on the front page, third party and first party, viewed by the second party, because that's how that works, I'm told. DJ, do you have a new picture you would like to talk about?
I've been seeing a lot of posts involving repainted fembots.
Yeah, I guess I should go collect some of those. That would be the RC and Chromia repaints we've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which apparently match the Combiner Hunter cover very well.
Indeed, and they line up with some rumors that have crawled around the floor of the rumor mill for the last little while. So, that's kind of cool to see actually happening. What do you think about the redecos?
They're actually quite nice. I like there's a little subtlety in making them resemble Wingblade a little bit more. Where they all get very decorated faces now.
Yeah, and I think that helps them, at least RC especially, that helps them out in just looking a bit more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, typically when they do, like, one of these, like, special mission paint jobs, they swap around a couple colors, or, like, Bumblebee, they flip the yellow and black and call it, oh, this is Stealth Mission Bumblebee now.
Yeah.
So I actually kind of like the, almost like a war paint thing going on, where there's a different attitude to the expression of the character.
Yeah, and also just the, I find with Chromia, like, the addition of silver and white to the majority of her body kind of, like, it just gives her a very different identity while not losing the blue. And the blue looks super shiny.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like about the repaints, is rather than trying to recast them as other fembots from G1 or something, we've got these girls, again, as their own characters in very nice decos.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little while since we've seen, you know, just power-up repaints outside of, like you said, every now and then a Bumblebee. In fact, it looks like RID's sub-brand change for, like, Wave 4 or whatever is going to have a bunch of that happening, too. And I don't want to have that always happening. I much prefer different characters, but it's nice to lean back into the power-up era a little bit. Aaron, how you feel about the new RC and Chromia looks?
I like them both. I think I like Chromia more than RC.
Mm-hmm.
But both of their heads look really good, although there's a part of me that's kind of sad because, like, on that cover, RC has that giant, like, cleaver handle sword that was, what was it, like, the Beast Hunters?
Yeah, the Beast Hunters Prime.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, that'd be so, where's the sword? It's not on the toys, guys.
So I'm not seeing it in these pictures.
Missing something.
But on Facebook, I saw a picture that they took specifically of this RC's hands, and her hands look remolded to me.
Okay.
Yep. They look like they're bigger, and that they don't have the dumb filler hole in the bottom or the weird oval-shaped, rectangular-shaped chasm. It looks like they remolded her hands to just be 5mm, which would be integral for her to actually hold on to any kind of new sword.
Right. And even if she doesn't get the new sword, that'd be a big improvement on that mold, because I remember everybody having issues like, wait, which RC did you get? Did you get the crappy one, or the not quite so crappy one?
Yeah, did you get the one with the fragile hands, or the one where you have to make the hands fragile by digging out a chunk on the bottom?
Right. Right. So that being improved or remolded is good.
There is a third party accessory pack coming out with the sword Chromia has in that cover. I betcha that if they don't come out with a pink and black Dragon Fang sword, someone will make one.
Yeah, it'll happen shortly.
Yeah. And this is all looking like it's going to be under the Combiner Hunter sub-branding, and I don't think we know too much about that, but that's coming.
Do we know if it's an entire sub-branding? Because the statement was that Combiner Wars specifically was going on for like 2 years.
I can't remember if I got it clear myself if Combiner Hunters is just the name of a one-off epilogue comic, or if that's going to be like another miniseries running through the summer.
Considering how long they said Combiner Wars was going to go on, and they said, well, everything in Combiner Wars is going to be Combiner, you know, outside of like remolds and such.
Well, what if it's Transformers, Combiner Wars, Combiner Hunters for these like read echoes?
Well, that's kind of what it feels like to me. It's like this so far, it feels like very two-pack-ish. Like this is like a special release thing.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. I mean, I'm sure if they're doing these two, the Windblade new look will happen as well. But I guess I'm sure the info's out there whether or not Combiner Hunters is a one-off or a miniseries, and I could probably look it up. But I don't know. It's a month away. I'll just find out in 30 days, not even 60 days. So, nonetheless, I'm happy to see these figures happening. Also, because these are pretty cool toys. I like these toys. I just got the Takara Tomy version of RC. And I like the history behind how that toy happened. Moving on from there, Aaron, have you gotten any new picture picks?
Yes, the Australian version of the Takara Unite Warrior Superion.
Yeah, so I caught the first version of that news where the Australia part was left out.
Okay.
And I was like, what? And then I caught up and I was like, oh, that's still cool.
Hey, we can still cross our fingers and hope.
Yeah.
That it's coming, because this, having them come as a gift set, which I definitely think that's exclusive bait material, because that's what the gift sets kind of were back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Is really neat, especially the fact that they got to name the shield.
Well, apparently, because this is the really creative person who's working in the Australian importing end of the paperwork. Yeah. Apparently, that shield, calling it the Skyboom Shield, was put up to fan vote amongst the Australian fans, and I think that's really neat.
Yeah.
And like they named everything in here too. Like a lot of this, I believe, is pulling from the tech specs.
Yeah, that and the hand foot guns. Heat-seeking missile launcher, laser-guided missile launcher, fire fog missile launcher, and twin mortar cannon. It's cool that the hand-foot things get named as well.
Yeah, I like the amount of thought that went into this piece of paperwork. It's pretty cool. You saw the picture Yuki put up of the opened flap version of the gift set box, right?
No, oh. I don't think I did.
Yeah, he put one up with like Japanese Superion holding the flap up. It looks pretty cool. They're in a clear tray. They're all packaged in vehicle mode, flying in formation.
Nice.
And so I assume that Menasor and Defensor will also be packaged in vehicle mode again for more of that G1 look. Yeah. Those gift sets, like, just on a, that's the kind of thing where it's like, if I had stupid money I could spend on whatever, I would totally double buy with the gift sets just because I like the idea of gift sets.
Yeah, I would love it if there was a gift set release in the U.S. so it would be slightly less dumb money, and then I'd probably jump in it.
Well, I mean, G2 Superion seems highly likely.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if people yell enough, G2 everyone else will also be highly likely. So I'm thinking we're going to see at least one stateside gift set. I'm just wondering if they're going to use the same tray setup just for the sake of, you know, it already exists. TJ, how you feel about Australia getting the Superion gift set?
I'll be honest, I didn't actually look into it very much. Yeah, like, I saw that come up on the front page. Like, oh, they're getting that. That's weird. I kind of moved on.
Yeah, I mean, they get Masterpiece toys every now and then as well. And the fellow, I assume the fellow writing this is the same guy who did the Star Saber booklet bio translation. But, yeah, they got Star Saber in Australia, too. Blows my mind.
Okay, I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. I would love to see more of this gift set stuff. Gift sets make me happy. I don't know why. Like, that's why back when the Energon combiners came out, I just went to get the Super Link versions. Turns out I also skipped a whole bunch of trouble going across, you know, wave assortments. But I really like the look of the gift sets. Like, just packaged all in robot mode, about to combine. I thought it looked super cool. So hope to see more of this stuff in the future. Are either of you guys thinking about that kooky Takara Tomy Mall Defensor exclusive thing with the groove?
No.
Like, with the sort of levels to it? Is it attracting your senses of like, ooh, this is a fancy piece?
No.
No. Alright. Alright.
I like my money a little too much for that.
Well, my new picture pick is all about spending money on repaints and redecos and other color variations, except it doesn't cost that much. We got images of the next wave of Robots in Disguise Warrior toys. Wave 4. Can I just mention, holy crap, Robots in Disguise is coming out fast. Like, at least it feels that way. Like, it feels like this is the kind of point in the line where we'd be having, like, a pause, but it keeps going. There's two redecos in this wave as the new figures. One of them's kind of boring. It's just a color-reversed Bumblebee with more black than yellow as Stealth Bumblebee, Night Ops Bumblebee. It happens. But then there's a Gold Armor Grimlock, which has a new head sculpt with a faceplate. Makes me wonder if they did faceplate head sculpts for everybody for their Warrior toys. And it's the R.I.D. Grimlock toy, but he's just in straight-up Grimlock colors. Admittedly, Gold Armor is kind of a weird name. It's kind of sad to see his Photoshop picture under the real toy, because the gold is caramel, so it's way more copper than anything else. But he's in straight-up G1 colors. It looks pretty neat. No idea if the elbow issue has been fixed on him, but if the toy looks sharp enough in person and I don't find it for a stupid price like $20, that's the kind of thing I might pick up on a whim. I don't know. Aaron, how do you feel about Gold Armor Grimlock?
Gold Armor Grimlock looks really good. That might be a snag for its sake, and also the requisite jazz that I have to get for Alfie if any store around here ever restocks Robots in Disguise.
I don't know if this helps. I looked at the reviews. It seems that that jazz toy is deceptively well done as a physical toy. Apparently the colors are really off, but
The colors are a bit off, even off of its own animation model,
which is right up there above him. Like,
yeah,
look at the chest. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. But no, it's the issue that we've had lately around here is like the first waves of things got snapped up. So it was a whole lot of restock with the first wave, and now nothing else is restocked.
I'm sure it'll swing back around. Especially, you know what? Murphy's Law. Wave 4 is the wave that just has two repaints as the new toys. That's the one you'll get. But then, boom, you also get Sideswipe and Jazz. Been hearing some unfortunate stuff about that Sideswipe toy. Like, he's pretty cool, except that his shoulder pegs don't work for robot mode, so his shoulders fall out, and that seems kind of sad. TJ, do you have any draw to a Gold Armor Grimlock?
More than I should.
Yep.
Because that mold actually does work really well in the G1 colors.
Yeah,
it's the kind of thing where I have to remind myself, I never give the repaints as much attention as I do the main toy, so why would I go after this one?
Because it's the perfect pretender Grimlock toy.
No, that's the classics one, because it transforms exactly like the pretender did.
I know, but that was 9 years ago. Okay, maybe 8 years ago. Like, this is a new one for a new era.
Yes, and despite being 9 years old, the elbows on my classics Grimlock work better than the new one.
Hand me him and I can fix him for a nominal fee. I'm not looking forward to fixing elbows on more than... I did the elbow fix. It's not hard, it's just annoying to do. And now I have Japanese Grimlock as well. Gotta do his elbow fix. If I pick this up, gotta do his elbow fix most probably. What a bummer. But this is, I think, out at Robot Kingdom. Like, is it out now at Robot Kingdom? Yeah, it's in stock, which is kind of weird. Also, Cyberverse Legion Wave 4 is in stock if you want weird redecos of Sideswipe and Bumblebee. I don't, so that's that. let's talk about the Global Consumer Conference 2015, GlobCon 2015, where we had some info from your friend and mine, Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner. I don't think if we've ever actually met him, have we? Has he been to a BotCon? I don't think so.
I'm sure he has. No.
Okay, not loudly at a BotCon, at least.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe the one at Rhode Island, but that would have been pre-Goldner, I think.
Mm-hmm. That was before his time.
Yeah.
Actually, that was, like, literally right before his time, wasn't it? Because that was the very final BotCon before the movie wave hit. Every time I think about that one, like, even seeing the Rhode Island office, it's like, I got to see what all that stuff was like before, like, everything changed in many ways. But at the GlobCon 2015, there were some key points discussed. Where was the stuff here? They used the word fidgetal, which I've known about for a while. I edited a thing about, what company was it? Spin Master. For work, and they used the word fidgetal, and I twitched, and I had to hear that word hundreds of times while editing that segment, which was a bummer. It's a terrible word. It's the connection between physical play and digital play. But he mentioned that they want to have connection, a fidgetal connection for Transformers video games and mobile games. A lot of people in the video games end have actually been kind of astounded that Transformers hasn't been able to become a powerhouse in the play... No, not
Toys to Life.
Yeah, I almost said Play to Life. The Toys to Life subgenre. Also, Hasbro is apparently real happy with My Little Pony. They should be. It seems to have been doing pretty well. Transformers-wise, they are working on the next movies. They're developing a cinematic universe beyond the first four movies. And it sounds like this is where they revealed they want to have the cinematic universe exist not entirely in sequels, so they may want to do prequel material or spin-offs focusing on certain characters like Bumblebee, which immediately sparked a whole bunch of people freaking out that there might be a Bumblebee movie, which I don't think is inherently a worse thing than anything else they could be making, but we'll see what happens. They also had a weird quote: "We don't pay to produce the Transformers movies. For us, it's really a reputational risk. It's not a financial risk. Obviously, they, being Paramount, performed incredibly well." Seems like a weird way to put it. I think I understand what he means, but it was kind of weird. And there's also... this is more talking about building Transformers for 10 years. The other really interesting thing is not really Transformers news, but he said that Hasbro's in development of a fully animatronic toy line. Details are kept in secret, and the debut will be later in the future. It may not necessarily be for Transformers. Nonetheless, speaking for myself, the idea sounds super interesting, and I'd love to see what the end result might be. That sounds just like toy tech moving forward kind of stuff.
Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, I want rubber faces on mannequin dolls just like talking to me. All creepy-like.
Like the lips don't quite move with the armature behind it.
Yeah, like if you look at them close enough, they're kind of just going whoa, whoa, whoa over and over again at different speeds. But there are little you know, bits and pieces of news in here. What's being now called the TFCU, which somehow is making me kind of feel like spitting up a little in my mouth.
That's what happened to me when you kept saying fidgetal, okay?
Yeah, well, I've had to deal with years of people saying, I'm gonna buy some Chug 3P, and, like, that's...
Yeah, I know, and that makes me sick, too.
That's
we
like
know
throat
this.
Yogurt. That's terrible.
throat yogurt. I've throat not yogurt. Heard that before.
Yeah, it's... I was trying to think, what sounds disgusting? Oh, throat yogurt. There we go. hey, Aaron. Not talking about coughing up in our own mouths for a little while. How does the GlobCon stuff make you feel? These little tidbits, bits and pieces, Transformers and otherwise.
I think that an animatronic toy line sounds interesting. I don't know what that would be.
That's why I'm so interested in it, because there's so many different ways it could go. Like, I mean, realistically, it's not going to be like robots in packages that walk around, but just like imagine like a toy that is designed to be able to do a walk cycle, for instance, or designed to be able to pick up its own accessories.
Right. Yeah, that's what I don't know if it'd be something like that or a based toy where you can have the toy, but then you put it on the power base thing and then it lets it move or something.
Oh, you could cross that over with fidgetal. Like, make the base be the thing that...
Stop saying that!
The base could be the thing that plugs it into the Toys to Life game, and then it starts animatronically waving its arms around. Because I feel like Lego's version of Toys to Life is going to shake things up by having playable game pieces.
Yeah.
And I wonder if this could become part of a post-Lego Dimensions Toys to Life world, having... like, you know, RFID-powered things. I mean, that probably isn't enough power to power, like, a friggin' motor. I honestly don't know. But it all seems to ride along a similar wavelength, in my viewpoint.
To be fair, it's still speculation. All we know is it's an animatronic toy line.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and we have no idea what it's even for. For all we know, it could be part of their new Disney deal, and it's just so you have an at-home Hall of Presidents.
That'd be pretty cool if you could have a bunch of just, like, spooky wax rubber presidents. It's like, oh man, give one a Gatling gun, get some Bioshock crossover going on. Probably be more durable than the NECA toy. I'm still bitter. That's not relevant to what we're talking about. TJ, anything in here that's really sparking your imagination?
Nothing in particular. It's, you know, it's a lot of little interesting news, but nothing that makes me go,
Yeah, I like that there was some non-Transformer stuff in here, too, that had some oomph, like that apparently there will be more Star Wars content in the next 5 years than what was seen in the past 30 years, unless he's just talking about films, in which case that's a lot less interesting. I thought maybe he was talking about toys, because...
Well, probably the same, because they want to roll out, like, not only 3 new episodes, but all the spinoffs, too.
Because imagine...
So just non-stop on the toy end, too.
Yeah, man. Like, there's already a lot of Star Wars toys. Like, imagine that just never ending. Like, I wonder if Star Wars might become their new toy powerhouse over top of Transformers. Just through sheer amount of media presence.
Yeah, it wouldn't really surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah, I wouldn't surprise.
Three new movies, you've got the opportunity to vomit out as much Star Wars stuff as you want.
But then there's a Transformers cinematic universe happening as well that maybe is trying to have it so that Transformers can, like, it's almost like, no, we're gonna vomit more! Aaron, we brought this back to vomit. How did that happen?
Just because you kept saying that monstrosity of a word.
Okay.
Listen, I just want some fidgetal phablet integration, okay?
If you want to talk toy vomit, look at the Marvel toys Hasbro pumps out.
Yeah.
I don't even know how well those do. I just see them everywhere.
Well, I assume, because they're still happening post-Guardians, like the little 2-inch ones, and all the, you know, the gimmick, 2-inch ones, the gimmick ones, and the Titan ones. Avengers has all of that. I got to assume that stuff is working, if it's happening with Age of Ultron as well. Unless Age of Ultron's the last gasp, but... I mean, that's built for kids. Like, you spend the same money, you get either a huge one that makes noise, or like 15 little ones plus a playset. The value proposition, especially to the parent, is really just laid out like blueprints.
I think the only thing in the whole news article that concerned me is if Bumblebee gets a spinoff movie, does that mean he gets even more toys than he did before?
Does that mean
the entire line is Bumblebee's?
Does he ever get to talk?
No.
Absolutely not.
Yes. Well, unless it's the prequel. What if they do the prequel where the story is how he lost his voice? Like, that seems like actually a really obvious prequel movie to do.
That would take logic. How dare you?
Hey, you know what? Like I said, when they said they were getting that brain trust, that writer's room together, enough people trying to write Transformers movies means that there is a higher percentage, like, chance of a good one popping out of all that. But
If you do a prequel, you're going to have to subtitle the whole thing because they didn't know English until the first movie.
That would be really cool if they stuck that hard to the concept and, like, actually wrote, like, fake, vaguely Asian Cybertronian for them all to start barking at throughout the whole thing. That'd be really weird. I kind of like that idea. Anyway, yeah, there's a whole lot of business in this thing, but... some cool little tidbits, and I am really curious about the animatronic thing. I doubt we're going to see that for a good 2 or 3 years, given the way it was mentioned. But I like the idea a lot. Anything else new you guys want to touch on, or shall we move on to a listener question? Because I've got one of those, too.
We can do the listener question.
I got tons of stuff up my sleeves. This question comes to us from The Real Hyboman. So he says, imagining that he'll be trapped in the Google Doc for a bit, Hopes these listener questions will surface. His first question is for TJ and the Omega Brigade. So I guess that's like, TJ, this must be for you. And like, I don't know.
The Omega Brigade is Black Ops. How does he know that?
Do you, I guess I was just guessing they were like pets or something. Like that, if I had like three pet hamsters, I would call them the Omega Brigade. Because you ever seen a hamster like just like wreck stuff? Yeah, you haven't.
I can't tell the stories.
I have. Well, he says, Ba weep, Grana weep, Nini bong to you all. So this is, I guess, just aimed at the TJ household here. I've been scouring this Platinum Astro Train photo reveal, leaving Facebook. Oh, that's the link. He's probably linking to the picture. The boards translated the link to leaving Facebook. And I thought that's what he wrote in the question. Anyway, Real Hyperman says, the only homage potential I see here is to the Tomy Commandrons, which sported white, red, and blue and had a jet guy. Any new theories or info as to the identities of the Doritos Locos Nachos Astrotrain? We've talked about this thing a whole bunch, but TJ, I feel like we tended to get that topic on odd episodes when Random Factor was here. So now that, you know, we've seen pretty much all there is to see, do you have any ideas about that Astrotrain?
I have no idea what this is anymore.
Like, what they're going for? Or...
It literally looks like they left some test shot plastic in the production run.
And just went for
it? Yeah.
Just threw down?
Because it makes... In no mode does it make sense. In shuttle mode, it might make sense if it's, like, re-entry glow, but you'd have to paint the wings and the sides to match, too. And it wouldn't work because it's on the top of the shuttle, not the bottom.
Hey, maybe he's re-entering creatively, is what I've always said. By flipping upside down.
I don't think that's creative. I think that's a disastrous problem.
Maybe they shouldn't have been fighting the whole way to Earth inside the shuttle mode. You know, pounding things, saying people are unchrasmatic.
Yeah, that's exactly where this comes from. It's them re-entering Cybertron.
And he's just had it.
While they're still fighting.
All right, you want to fight? Fine, here, shake you up a little bit.
Oh. I'm gonna crash on my head.
Oh, you all stop fighting.
Just to show you I can.
You're all upside down now, but you're a bunch of smart asses. Well, now I'm in charge. You know what? I don't even want to be in charge. I'm leaving. He transforms, dumps them all out. It's like, I'm taking five. You guys stop being idiots.
All right, now everyone has concussions. I'm the one in charge.
Yeah, I got no theories on that Astrotrain myself. I had a brief theory about whether or not, like, there was some mathematical way to connect the Pantones for that orange to the purple that some of those orange parts are replacing. And maybe someone like hit the wrong button in the...
Oh, somebody just punched the wrong buttons and for Pantone guides and nobody like called them on. No, that's what I meant to do. I mean, you don't see it? I mean, I'll tell you what it's homaging, but yeah, I think you'd miss it. You got to see it for yourself.
Like, I wonder, I don't know mm-hmm. Pantone numbers at all. I wonder if there are, like, sixes and eights between the purple and the orange. And so maybe people working in production were just reading the numbers because they were just so tired. Like, yeah, it looks right. It looks right. You know, it's like 68 instead of 86 or something. I don't know. Yeah, I got no explanation for that thing myself.
So everyone wanted, every collector wants to own a prototype, right?
Yeah, we'll make you one. I don't know. I feel like releasing that... At some point, they should just release Safety Megatron as, like, a companion piece. Like, that feels like a companion piece.
You know what? In that wave, that would be very interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a second question here, which is aimed at everybody, I believe, which is, I've always wanted there to be some kind of competition held at cons where two or more blindfolded contestants are each given a toy to identify and transform as fast as they can only by feel. Which toys that shift modes out of all the ones you've encountered in your storied careers would you want to be used to test the skills of your fellow toy geeks? Which ones would survive the ordeal? Which figures would you put in just so you could watch the peanut gallery squirm in terror? I thought too much about that, and I already squirmed a little bit. Hope this makes this into your topic list soon. Many thanks for the podcast-based lulls. Addendum, or Astrotrain could possibly be an homage to Skylinks. What? I don't see that. Unless...
No, because Skylinks is still, like, space shuttle colors.
Magma attack, yeah. Skylinks. The little-known Action Master Skylinks redeco. Don't you guys know your stuff? I know my stuff. Well, in the realm of a blindfolded Transformers transforming and groping contest, Aaron, what would you throw in there?
for like, I mean, because I could see tears for identification purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the simple things like Beast Wars would probably be pretty easy. I mean, as long as you're not, you know, handing him a repaint and saying like, no, that's not K9, that's a
Wolfgang.
Wolfgang, yeah.
but then you get
fooled, you dummy.
You get the hyper fan who can feel that slight dog head remold between the two.
No. See, because right here's the paint line. You can tell the little bit of thickness. No, but all the way up to, I mean, you know, I think that there'd be a lot of stuff that could kind of be tricky in that. You know, jets, or, you know, I'm sitting here looking at, you know, I got Quickslinger and he's the same as Air Raid, but is it really that bit, you know?
Yeah.
On a speed thing, how are you necessarily going to, you know, tell one from another?
I mean, I think the Combiner Wars Deluxe is on the whole, if you were able to hand them like three of them, you could really screw with people.
Yeah.
Depending on, like, I guess the notion of this contest.
Yeah.
Because I mean, my immediate idea is, oh, G2 Smoke Jumper or whatever, and Energon Starscream, like two toys that transform the same but aren't.
Yeah.
That'd be how I'd like to screw with people. But TJ, do you have any ideas how you could really just mess with someone in a blindfolded contest like this?
Well, you want to go some of the more interesting routes. Like, well, the easy stuff is, well, let's just throw one of the more frustrating transformers to transform it, like an RID Sideburn or something.
I'm trying to think of one recently that maybe would be legitimately painful to transform. Like, you know, a lot of sharp parts, a lot of panels.
Movie toys.
Masterpiece Megatron. Except he's not really that hard to identify. You'd know what he is right away, wouldn't you?
Leader Sentinel Prime.
Oh,
not
man.
Not for identification,
oh,
but for
geez.
Transforming.
For speed on blindfold, yeah. Friggin' toy. That would be rude.
The only way to win is not to play.
Yeah.
You feel it, you're like, okay, that's a
you feel it,
Leader
you drop
Sentinel
it.
Prime. Blank this, throw it on the ground, rip the blindfold off, throw it at the person that handed you the toy, flip them a double bird, and walk off.
So whoever drops it first is the winner, because they're the one who realized the actual contest.
Now, if you really want to get people worked up, you tell them, okay, take this from robot mode to beast mode and back, and then you hand them like I can't remember his name. Beast Wars Neo Randy.
No, yeah.
If it breaks, you're disqualified.
Yeah. That made me think.
No, but you let them know. Not just like blindfolded.
Oh, right.
And this thing turns into dust. You're like, okay, you got the blindfolds on. Okay, now cup your hands. We're going to put something in it. Don't move your hands yet. Okay, we're going to put it in here. All right. Carefully. Okay, you identify it. No, that's a Randy.
Hey, hear people
now transform
gasp.
It in 3, 2, one.
No,
go.
No, you tell them it's Snarl, so they go quickly, and then they immediately shatter the first one. You just have this pile of Randys. You just keep handing them. And just see how many broken bits of gold are left at the end.
I'm thinking more, if you want to be mean, blindfold them, give them a G1 Scorponok, and then tell them it's a Black Zarek, and just see how people's kid gloves turn on.
Okay, come on, clock's going. Come on, let's go. He's going faster than you are, come on.
Every time they hit one of the leg ratches, they're just like...
it's only a $1,500 toy, no pressure.
Click, click. Okay, now I gotta do the other one. Click, click.
I was thinking, you know what would screw with people if they're blindfolded? You give them like spring load transformers, like the, you know, the Beast Wars basics, but you take all the springs out. So that none of the spring motions actually happen. They have to be manually moved. Because none of us ever had to manually open any of that stuff, right?
So someone in a blindfold just pulls Rat Trap's tails back and goes, I'm done, right?
No, they pull the tail, but then when nothing happens, they're like, I guess it's not Rat Trap? And then they're sitting there going like, well, then what? You know, because you...
What did I just do?
Yeah, you're so used to feeling that backpack flip open, none of us ever actually had to open it, right?
Did they gut the gimmick for a pack rat? What?
Yeah, like flip changers with the springs removed, given to people with blindfolds on, could be kind of interesting. Because, I mean, ostensibly, there are, in some of them at least, there are locking points, you know, to hold them together in either mode. So,
I was trying to remember that, if they held open on the springs or not.
I know some of them had nubs to, like, hold, you know, to clip them into position. Yeah. I don't know. It would be really interesting for someone to have to, like, feel their way through, like, you know, iguanas or something and going, like, you know, because you always just pulled his tail and then he just kind of happened. It'd be neat to take that away from someone who's blindfolded, who had to feel their way through something they always took for granted, you know? Something philosophical in there that I like. Anyway, I hope that was sufficient answers to your question, the real Hyba Man. I think it's time for an intermission. Also, my glass is empty. It's perfect timing for an intermission. Then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the acquisition of Transformers, as we often do. And we'll see you on the flip side right after this. Yo, we are back. It's what we got this week. Also, about that last listener question, I had another idea while I was going over to get myself some Terra chips, but it got so complicated that I forgot. No, I remember it now. So you know how we were saying, like, you know, we tell someone it's Black Zarek, but we just gave them Scorponok? What if, right, we do that so many times, they go like, oh, shut up already. And, you know, they figure that we're just making the stupid joke over and over again. Then we actually hand them something that is, like, cast in a really fragile plastic. And we go like, now listen, this isn't whatever the Japanese one is. This is Torka. They're like, yeah, funny. And just snap Torka in half. And you go like, well, I guess you're paying for that. That'd be a great way to end that game.
Yeah, over this whole contest, you know, there are people on eBay going $10 more, $10 more, $10 more.
Alpha Orca. Sorry, that's his name in whatever Beast Wars the Blentrons were in.
I still need that one.
I do, too, because I have a Torka in a box in BC that hasn't seen air in like 15 years. And yeah. I kind of don't want him to now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I like that toy. Got Torka and broke it immediately.
I need to find me an Alpha Orca because I... To be honest, I don't even know if Alpha Orca doesn't have the issue. I can't remember. I don't think he does. I want to get Alpha Orca. Doesn't. I want Alpha Orca now. That guy's head sculpt was sick.
Yeah.
That was a cool toy. I remember I got Torka at a comic shop, and that was when I didn't entirely know who all had Fusor's toys. So I knew nothing about Torka until I had him in hand, and I just thought he was the coolest guy. It's a badass. Anyway, we're here to talk about what we got this week. So, hey, Aaron, did you get any Transformers this week?
Yes, I did. I got Quickslinger.
Quickslinger, yeah.
Yes, as we talked about the cached page on the last episode, I went to it and ordered it. And yes, this is a mold that is now super duper loose and wobbly for me.
How's the waist swivel on yours?
I can spin him just by turning him slightly, like rattling him slightly in my hand.
Yeah, mine too.
He just spins. He's like a windmill.
I don't know what to do to fix it either, because I think I'd have to open up his chest, and that's like a step beyond ball joint tightening.
Yeah.
So, but it sucks, because he really, in Superion mode, he absolutely can't hold Power Glide, if that's one of his arms.
Right. That looks like just four screws.
Yeah.
There's no access from the torso down into it. So
the combiner peg is in there, and that thing might come loose and then a bunch of mess.
And then just go sproing everywhere.
Like Non-F, and I think with the Glog, Non-F Thandius is doing at some point in the future a replacement ratchet so that the combiner peg ratchet gets extra clicks.
Okay.
And I'd like that, so I'm going to be opening that thing up at some point, but I don't really want to do it until I have that extra gear in hand.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
Yeah, he is. That waist barely holds him. Barely holds itself steady at any point in its movement.
The suffering.
Yeah. That, well, his shoulders seem like they've gotten looser.
I agree with you, but then I went back to my Firefly, and ever since I got him back in like late December, his shoulders very suddenly got very loose.
Did they?
And I had to do some new floor polish treatment on them last week. Something about the, I don't know if it's, if I just am unlucky, but it feels like something about the tolerances in there wears down on stuff. Kind of quick. But hey, Quicksilver's got a nice head sculpt, right?
He's got shades. It does. He's got shades. And unfortunately, I gotta say, I think I like the look of Superion better with a little bit of variety in there with Alpha Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just five jets all mushed together.
Yeah, there's I find there's something to be said for a symmetrical Superion, mm-hmm. but it's cool having, I think me and Seth were talking about this last week, it's cool just having the option in a way that doesn't feel like you just have a random toy to stick on him, but like a legit sixth member to stick on as a limb. I like the, for tactical options, like when he attaches Alpha Bravo, right. His firepower just like increases exponentially or something.
Yeah. But no, it was like as I was sitting there messing with it, I was like, I don't know if I like this.
Well, you're not short for torsos to attach spare guys onto.
Right. I've got waiting in a pile of loot. I have the wave 3 torsos waiting on the wave 3 limbs to show up.
Sweet.
I realized that, like I'd said before, nobody is restocking locally, so I just said, forget it. I'll go ahead and just pre-order because why not? It'll save money in the long run between gas and dealing with it.
And also going to a store and not finding the protective bots, but then seeing some other random thing you probably wouldn't have bought.
Yeah.
But you got that feeling of like, well, I came here to do something, damn it.
So I had all but, I got the Pizza Spidey. Last time,
mm-hmm.
and I was at Toys R Us, and they had the rest of that wave short the Daredevil, and I had them all in my hand. Both of the Spider Girl, Spider Woman, Anti Venom, and $20.99.
Mm-hmm.
I had them all in my hand, sitting there going, "You know what? I'm thinking about it because I like the Spider Girl, and." $20.99 is pretty cool. Well, then I have half of Hobgoblin, so I might as well get the Spider-Woman and Anti-Venom, and then all I have to find is the Daredevil. What am I doing?
That happened to me last weekend in the States. I found everyone but Daredevil, and I went like, you know, I could just buy all these. And I was like, what am I? No, I don't. I like how these look, but this is not the reason why I want to buy them.
Yeah.
It feels like, I don't know, it feels like one of those kind of toys where it's like, you know what, maybe this is me having a weakness of character. I don't want these because this is a slippery slope I know I'll fall down.
Right. That was my problem, as I was telling Alfie, like, no, I can't. She's like, well, you were looking for that one, weren't you? I was like, yes, I was. But we're collectors. What happens?
You end up with a leg like, from a cool-looking Hobgoblin toy.
You've got a third of them.
Yeah.
And then that one's kind of neat, too, so then you have half of them. What do you got to do? She's like, then you got to get the rest of them. I'm like, I know! It's $100 I can save by not getting this one.
This $20 Spider-Man purchase spirals into $120.
Yes. No, I don't need that. She's like, well, it's just one. I'm like, that's how they get you.
Freaking Build-A-Figures, man. Dangerous.
Yeah. So, I managed to walk out of Toys R Us today without any of that. But, oh, it was rough.
I think what saves me is I never really got into collecting Marvel Legends. I have no vested interest in it.
So that Pizza Spidey was my first Marvel Legends. So it's its own thing right now.
And that's the best position to be in because you don't have this whole thing of like, well, I already have so many other members of the Marvel Universe pantheon in this scale. I may as well add to the group. Like, I think that's what really gets a lot of Legends collectors. Not saying that, you know, that's why people buy them, but surely that's a real easy reason to give yourself.
Yeah, man, I like 4 out of 6 of this wave, and I mean, why not?
I already got all these other characters I don't really care about that came with Build-A-Figure parts, and they're part of the shelf. It's fun to spectate, and I so very much want to participate, but I'm like, at the end of the day, that's $120 I'm going to spend on Spidey figures, and there are other toys I think I like more that cost that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dangerous stuff. What were we talking about? Anything else you got this week that was on topic?
Any other Transformers this week? No.
All right.
I didn't think about it, but no.
TJ, did you Transformer this week?
I did Transformer this week.
What did you Transformer?
I actually got the Wave 3 torsos.
Cool. So,
Hotspot and Cyclonus.
And you had the deluxes last time we talked, right? So you're all defensorid. So yep. Let's talk about Cyclonus first, because he's the easier conversation to have, I think. How do you feel about him? Do you feel like he's just part of a... Do you have him because you got Hotspot, or are you feeling anything deeper with him?
It's kind of hard to say. I feel like I got him incidentally, but there is a lot about the toy I end up liking.
Hmm.
It's a weird thing is it kind of makes me feel some of the things that were lacking from the Universe toy, and the Universe Cyclonus is still a really good toy.
Yeah.
Like, I really stand to that toy, but the vehicle mode isn't quite there as much as it usually is. Like, it's kind of improvised to make the robot mode look as much Cyclonus-y as it can.
Yeah.
This one is, like, spot-on Cyclonus vehicle.
And then, big-ass backpack.
Okay, yeah, he does kind of have that going on.
So I was looking at him, and I covered some stuff up with my fingers. If the bottom chunk of his wings could somehow fold up into his wings on a hinge, his silhouette would have been, 100 times better. I feel like that might have even been an intent at some point. It's so clear. Once you cover up the bottom parts of his wings, like the two flap parts, it's so close to, an 80s cartoon Cyclonus silhouette.
Yeah. The one downside of that mold, it is very much the G1's Silverbolt's problem of, I'm a robot hanging on the bottom of a jet.
And you can also just have, if you turn his head around the right way, you can have his head just sticking right out one part of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
But, you know, the toy works surprisingly well.
Mm-hmm. I found myself not sticking his gun onto the bottom of the nose cone so much as breaking it in half and putting the two parts just under the jet chunk.
Yeah.
Something about that felt better to me for Cyclonus, even though it means he doesn't really sit on the table that well.
That part I haven't tried yet.
Because he doesn't look right to me with it under the nose cone.
I think what surprised me about the vehicle mode was he has to do a bit of part forming.
That thing is... that's so weird. Those little... you don't have to parts form them because they're under his fists. But it's so much better if you do.
Yeah, well, when you put them into vehicle mode, they're just stuck there to the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's like, I haven't seen that in so long.
Yeah, I kind of want to know how the development of that happened. This is another case of, were those just two parts, or were those originally on, a hinge bit on a revised forearm that couldn't be budgeted in?
That's always kind of weird. They had it planned ahead of time, because Silverbolt had those holes from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah. And those are 5mm port fins, which... for the sake of, just sticking stuff on stuff, that's kind of cool to have a pair of fins to just jam onto a guy.
Yeah.
But it's weird for transformation. And they're tight, too.
Yeah. That's what really got me.
Yeah.
There's one time I put him in his hands and pretended like he was shanking people.
They look good for that.
They come in handy.
Yeah, the sculpts on them, it's very multi-purpose.
But it's a surprisingly nice figure. I mean, it works way better for Cyclonus than it genuinely should.
Yeah, and I really dig the Galvatronus torso. I put that together with some limbs the other day, just like a couple random limbs, and it felt pretty good. Made me really hope that we can see sweeps happen.
What really surprised... I keep using that word. There's kind of a nice surprise to the fact that for whatever reason, they didn't really advertise the Galvatronus torso.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hadn't seen it much before I got the toy in hand.
Oh, yeah. Like back at Toy Fair, they, for whatever reason, kind of kept... they were cagey about it.
Yeah, and there wasn't even any official pictures of it.
Yeah.
So I actually enjoyed it a lot more once I finally saw it in hand. I think just because I hadn't been exposed to it that much.
Yeah, and it's a nice torso mode for what it is. A limbless Galvatron. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. It's going to spend a lot of time catching extra figures for me.
I am now desperate to see some... because Wave 4 is probably going to be the Masquerade Wave for Ultra Prime.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of bumming me out now, because I was like, oh, I wish Wave 4 was just, like, some random limb stuff so I could stick them onto, you know, Ultra Prime and Cyclonus.
You never know with this toy line. Like, well, one of them's going to be Prowl, so, you know, you could have, like, a Combiner Wars Blue Streak or something.
I kind of hope so. I don't know. I'd want more... I really want more random limbs.
Yeah.
But... let's move on from Cyclonus. Let's just get to the meat. So you got Hotspot, and you've got Defensor put together. How are you on board with a lot of the fandom in the newly formed Hotspot fan club that is the internet right now?
Well, I was a Hotspot fan from childhood.
So you're the hipster fan. You were in it way before it was cool.
Absolutely.
That is a stupid, easy joke to make, and I apologize to everyone for making it. Sorry. Anyway. as a toy, how do you feel about Hotspot?
He is really nice as a figure.
Yeah.
Like, the transformation is nice and solid. The proportions on him are dead on where I would like them to be. Good articulation, good design. I love that they went with a cartoon head.
Yeah. I like the cartoon head a lot more than the toy head on him.
I pointed it out, like, I have the G1 toy, and that's usually where Hasbro draws all their inspiration, but the G1 toy's head looks, like, super evil for, like, an Autobot rescue vehicle.
Yeah. And I way prefer the interplay of blues, because blue is just such a pleasant color. Mm-hmm. Like, the darker blue faceplate and everything, and the way that the colors work on that Hotspot toy, I mentioned this last week. I got that while I was visiting Kryn over the weekend. Kryn wouldn't let me play with Hotspot, and she kept complaining when he was combined with Defensor. Because just the look of his robot mode without the ladder involved, she was like, this is great. How do you get the ladder off? I'm like, it's screwed in. She's like, well, take it off. I was like, no. It's mine. I'm not taking the ladder off. That toy, like, resonated with her on a pure, like, robot design level. I have never seen it, any Transformer resonate with her. She's not, like... a big time fan. She's just recently got into the comic books, and she likes some of the cartoons, but, like, she has no reason to be so into a Hotspot toy. And afterwards, yeah. she was like, so what's he like in the comics? And I was like, a background character? Like, he doesn't do anything. So they really did something right with that toy.
Oh yeah. Like, just the design wise is absolutely great. I love how they worked in his G1 stripe stickers by putting all this, like, layered detail.
God, yeah, the painting of, like, the silver under the red looks so cool.
Yeah, all that mechanical detail over what looks like it's like a almost like a safety grid.
Yeah, and
don't stick your hand in type thing.
There's so much, like, sculpted stuff on the black plastic for his ladder and the firefighter box, like. You just go in there with a silver Sharpie or, you know, a silver paint pen, and you could have a day, like, just picking out the little step ladder, the controls and everything. It's all sculpted in there. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I like the truck mode, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of attention to detail. I like... it's thought out so much to where, like, even the bucket at the top of the ladder has the diamond plate molded into the bottom.
On the inside of Defensor's head! Yeah, and it's jointed. Like, I didn't realize immediately how the joints for the ladder worked. And then I realized, like, oh, this is the sprayer part. It actually does the thing where it raises, but the bucket stays parallel to the ground.
Yeah.
And then when it's hooked onto his back, that joint still works, too. So you can, like, fold the bucket a bit closer to the back of Hotspot's head or farther away. Like, mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder how much of that perhaps is for an Onslaught, for... you know, movable gun parts. It's the way that the pegs line up is really intelligent.
Well, I can't imagine, like, I'm really trying to figure out what they're going to do if they make this into Onslaught, because they obviously will at some point.
Yeah, I think it really hinges on just, like, they just gotta, you know, you unscrew the ladder and screw in whatever he has that turns into Bruticus's chest and head.
Yeah.
Like, the even in defense or chest mode, his robot fists, the undersides, are right there to hold onto a pair of cannons to stick up off of his back. If you have cannons with long handles, they would stick in there just like to give the Bruticus silhouette.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything's lining up really well.
Mm-hmm. I will say, unfortunately, on mine, the right knee came out loose.
That's a common thing. In the feedback thread, Optimus Fan figured out what it is. It's really hard to describe, even though it's really easy to fix if you have a thin, like an X-Acto knife. So you know how his blue shins are like two sandwiched things around the black kneecap?
Yeah.
The post made from blue plastic that's inside the hole of the black kneecap, on some of them, on one knee, there's extra material that's pushing the two blue parts apart by about a micrometer, which is causing the tension to not work for all that stuff. So if you go in there and you squeeze it open and slice that bit off, then it comes together tighter. And it's friggin' hard to explain or show in pictures because it's inside so much stuff. But I gave it a try with mine, who didn't really have the problem, and it just made mine even better. It is pretty easy to do. It's just really hard to actually describe. But check the feedback thread. There's people are taking more and more photos in there. It's similar to the problem. Oh, what figure had that problem? It was a figure that had the problem where it had too much plastic, but a lot of people thought it had too little plastic somewhere. But there's an internal peg that is pushing that shin apart a little bit, and messing with the tension. And, yeah, I apologize to everyone listening that my description is not much better than what you just heard. It's one of those things where if I have the toy and I can just point a stick at it in front of you and move things around in front of you, it makes more sense. I tried to videotape doing it. That got real hard. So, it's out there, though. Hit the feedback thread. How do you feel about the Defensor transformation and etc. now that you've got it all together?
I'm happy with it. Like, I really like how it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they actually worked the ladder into the transformation rather than just being like stuck off his back.
Like the most unsubtle ponytail on the G1 toy.
Yeah. Or this way it's like literally just like an entire torso wrapping.
Yeah, it gives you the silhouette of the animation model that you could never really get out of the toy. Like where he was just a dude with a chest plate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I dig the design. He comes out a little bit gorilla'd.
Yeah, a touch.
Yeah, the legs are a little bit shorter than the other Combiner Wars.
That's where I got the perfect effect, hands and feet, and those feet are so big that they do wonders for actually both him and Menasor. Like, just giving him that extra inch or so of leg height helps the arms out a ton. Makes me really excited for all the other foot options ideally multiple people will be coming up with.
I actually kind of prefer it that way. Like, because it's Defensor. Like, I want him to look like a solid wall of robot.
Yeah, he's like a house.
Yeah. That's why I like the toys that form the Protectobots, because I put Rook on one arm and First Aid on the other, and he's got these gigantic shoulders and big block forearms.
I went for the comic configuration of Rook and Blades as the arms, and they certainly look different when they're arms.
I just want the limbs to show up so I can chip them all and enjoy your discussion. I got to fiddle a bit with noise mazes last weekend when we did our little game-a-thon thing.
You should have just taken it.
And I thought about
it. Just say for the kids, just take it. I was going to throw in there, Aaron, once we finish with Hotspot, I was going to say, like, you know, thanks for your contributions. I hope you appreciate how much we're previewing your toys for you here.
Yeah.
Well, TJ, it sounds like the Defensor set has really hit the spot for you. Where would you put him amongst the three teams we've got so far?
Honestly, he's, as far as teams go, probably the best one.
I agree with you.
Because, I said it last time, it's an all-star lineup from the molds, and there's way more variety to them than there are the aerial bots.
Yeah, like there's things that work better in Superion and Menasor individually, like very specific individual things, but if you just want a taste of everything, like the Protectobots give you all of that really well. Mm-hmm. Like even Groove, and turning into a chest plate really well.
Yeah, which turned out better than I thought it would.
I don't even know how his arms friction in there, but they friction in so well. Like, I know there are pegs there, but like the friction feels like something else is happening.
I didn't really think of it. I just felt, pegged in. I thought it was neat to actually use that little stand peg hole that all the toys have now.
Yeah. Which has been disappearing from some of them too, which is really weird. Like some of the aerial bot limbs don't have it, and like of all the toys to not have the flight stand peg.
Oh man, I didn't even notice that. Oh, Hotspot doesn't have it. Okay.
Yeah, some of them don't, but some of them do. Like it's gotten real weird. I feel like I've been screwing up by not making that like a bullet point I try to hit in every review I put together.
Okay, but Rook still has it,
right?
So like, the new ones have it, and then older ones don't. What?
And I think one of the aerial bots has it, but not all of them.
I'm looking now.
I can't remember anymore. The other two are in leg mode. I can't see it there. But yeah, it's become vaguely non-standardized. Like that was my disappointment with Superion is like some of them don't have flight stand pegs, and there are way less 5mm holes than I thought there would be. And like these are toys begging for 5mm holes because the thing I found really fun. So you get like an add-on set of hands and feet, right? The thing that's fun is finding places to still put the hand-foot guns just to make these guys even beefier and heavily armed. And it's really cool. Like, I wish there were more holes so I could, like, just give them rockets on their shoulders and stuff. But yeah, in case you guys haven't quite caught on, it sounds like TJ and myself both really dig Perceptor.
Perceptor.
Defensor.
My favorite combiner from Armada.
Yeah, the giant hulking behemoth walking house gorilla thing, Perceptor.
Yeah.
Defense, it's all the ores, man. All those verbors. But
herbivores?
Those verbivores. They only eat verbs. Now that you're all wave 3'd up, anything else that you got in Transformers-wise this week?
Transformer-wise, no. That would be it.
Are you feeling like you've kind of hit a hype peak for now, or are you feeling still like I want wave 4 now, damn it? Or are you feeling satisfied?
I'm kind of feeling wave 4 just because it's like stupid fun kind of. Oh yeah, the normal Autobots can combine now because why not?
Yeah, I thought I was gonna feel calm after the Protectobots, but I'm kind of sitting here just picking up my fingers, going like, well, I figured out a good torso mode for Menasor. I want to do that with Ultra Prime now, with you know 4 topical limbs for him to combine with.
Like, yeah, I'm not like super eager to grab them like I have been the last few waves, but I want them.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying Combiner Wars. Like it's all so pleasant and nothing. There's nothing. Okay, there are things that blow your mind, but there's no like one figure that is just like the Grail that's gonna you know break Transformers expectations for the rest of the year. It's just like this nice even stream of somewhat predictable fun stuff for me. And I'm looking forward to at least like 2 or 3 more waves of that before the year's out. Hope you get your wave 3 stuff soon, Aaron. Well, speaking for myself, I got some Transformers on my way back from visiting Kryn. Me and my mom were driving back and stopped at we saw a Kmart on the way back to Canada in somewhere in upstate New York near Niagara. And I'd never been to a big K, especially in the 21st century in America, and I've heard stories. Oh my God, the stories were all true. It was like I was suddenly in like backwoods southern America, it felt like, you know, like not to talk mess on the lower chunk of your guys' country, but it felt like everything people told me about the lower chunk of your guys' country. It looked like shambles. It looked like no one actually owns Kmart anymore. The people working in there were a mixture of complete sadness and teenagers. And I think the best employee we encountered was in the electronics section. So I'm just looking at stuff. And my mom's like, decides to go interact with the one guy working in the electronics section. And she, of all the things to ask someone working in a Kmart electronics section, she's like, so where are your external hard drives? The guy's like, you mean like memory sticks? And she's like, well, how big do they get? He's like, they're about as big as 64 gigabytes. My mom's like, oh, no, I'm thinking like, you know, terabytes. And apparently the guy just gave her a real like confused look at that point and goes like, oh, we don't carry those here. And she's like, oh, okay. And he goes like, but you know, I just got a good solid state hard drive off of Amazon. Do you know what Amazon is? And so at this point, I'm like busying myself with a camera case because I don't want to start laughing. But my mom just goes right into it. She's like, Amazon. And then the guy said the best thing I've ever heard, which is, yeah, Amazon. It's a great website. And I was like, all right, great tagline for Amazon. Amazon, colon, it is a great website. Quote from 15-year-old guy working at Kmart in Niagara Falls. It was pretty magical. But I went to the toy section, and I found some cool stuff. I found that they had RID Warrior toys for $10. So I got Bumblebee because he's the only North American one I don't really have right now. I got a review copy of the Japanese one. So seeing the American one for $10 made me do the really stupid thing where I'm like, well, now I can show it in comparison to the Japanese one. Yep. Also, they had a Generations Dreadwing for $13. I never got Dreadwing, so I picked him up. And he's pretty nice. I think I talked about Bumblebee, by the way, last week. Bumblebee's fine, like, as a warrior toy. I really like Bumblebee. He's great as a $10 toy. Don't buy him as a $20 toy. Maybe find him for $15. It's okay. He's fine. He's not bad. He's fine. Dreadwing, aside from his torso not really pegging in too well, everything about him feels better than the Megatron toy that came out in North America. Japanese Megatronus still feels, I think, the best of the three. But Dreadwing was quite pleasant, and the colors are gorgeous on Dreadwing. Also, while I was out and about at a Target, I saw a Deluxe Optimus Prime for like $14.99, and I just got the Nemesis one. And you know the thing I just said about Bumblebee? That happened as well. So now I got the Optimus. And he's he's okay. He's certainly not as good as Drift. His shoulders are a bit of a wreck. Aesthetically, he's pretty cool. I like the Nemesis one way more. But now I can show it next to the Autobot one. And I think that does it for Transformer stuff that I found while I was out at that Kmart. I got some blind bagged Call of Duty astronauts as well, but those aren't Transformers.
Those aren't.
So I guess that can take us right into our off-topic section. I got some golden Call of Duty astronauts at the big Kmart, because those were a promo figure. In the blocks aisle at this Kmart, the shipping crate for them was in the aisle on a shelf with the front looking like it had been bitten open. So I just grabbed three and price checked them, and they were like $3 each. And I was like, well, I'd love to expand on my squadron of assault gun armed astronauts, especially if they're also solid gold. So I picked up three of those. They also had some Lego blind bags from the wave that the fencer was in. I haven't opened them yet. I didn't even feel them up. I just grabbed three. I have six sitting unopened. I'm going to videotape those. I think that does it for my big K stuff. Outside of that, I built a new desk that I got from IKEA because my old desk was really small. This new desk is really big. It's too big for my bedroom, and I kind of like it for that. It feels like a control center. It feels like the cockpit of a spaceship that, like, lodged itself into my apartment and then just, like, disintegrated. I can fit both my MacBook and my tower computer on it, and it makes me feel powerful. That's about it for me, I think. I also got a new webcam, so I just used it for a V-Build Live stream that I did over the weekend. So I now have an actual webcam on a cable, not one built into the lid of my MacBook, and it's quite pleasant. I think that's about it for me. Oh, no! I don't think I mentioned this last week. When I got the Amazon Combiner Wars, Quickslinger, and Breakneck guys, to make the shipping free, I got SH Figuarts Super Mario. I'd never got him before. I didn't realize how much he doesn't come with that is in the other two boxes you're supposed to get with him. Wow. He is a very bare bones figure. Well worth $25 just for the sculpt alone. I am really surprised, though, how limited his posability is. Like, I feel like there was definitely Nintendo meddling with the figure, given how limited it is for something with the SH Figuarts name on it. I feel like there were probably posability solutions that the Bandai team wanted to do that Nintendo was not cool with. Because what I've heard is Nintendo, when it comes to toys for Nintendo, they can be very particular about the final look of their characters. And there are definitely some articulation sacrifices on Mario for the sake of having a smooth look when he's, like, standing or in the jump pose. He's a lovely little figure. Don't pay much more than $25 for him, though, because you get basically nothing with him. You get, like, a coin and, like, hang on, what did you, I didn't even pull out everything. You get a coin, a mushroom, and a question mark box. That's it. His hands are fists. That's it. but he's kind of pleasant. I kind of wish I'd paid $20 for him rather than $25, but I felt like that was always kind of a gap in my Figuarts collection and experience. Now I've filled it. Hooray. I don't know if I'm going to get the add-on sets for him. I kind of just like having Mario with fists. and a mushroom. But I believe that about does it for my off-topic, unless I remember something all of a sudden. Aaron, let's go over to you. Did you off-topic at all this past week?
I did quite a bit.
Yeah, you ran a charity thing.
Yeah, so...
People died.
Yeah, well, they became undead, maybe? I'm not sure how
lives were lost over the sum of $34.
Yeah, was that just what was floating around in a PayPal account?
That was perhaps what was just floating around on a gift card that someone may have had.
That works too. When I saw 34, I'm like, that's just killing a card or something.
We didn't even know that you were doing anything for the money. We just wanted to donate something.
Oh, okay.
Well, but hey, then when you gave us power, I was like, oh, well, let's ruin things.
So, yeah, last weekend, I talked about it a little bit, but hadn't really been pushing it a bunch. Was going to do a 12-ish hour. I think I ended up being there for 14 hours of playing video games, video games, actually, board games to raise a little bit of money for Extra Life. We ended up raising about $100, I think, was the final count between your donations, some other donations, and what ended up in the jar. And it's something that I think it's something I could do once a month or every other month and be little kicks and have a reason to get together with friends and play games. That's not a marathon, because 14 hours is pretty doable. Adding another 10 to that becomes hellish.
I mean, the first 14, there's a 14-hour chunk, maybe 12-hour chunk, in the front middle area of a 24-hour. That's usually like the best part.
Right.
So... You're capturing that.
Yeah. But it was, had a good time. We played a game of Risk Legacy with a couple of people that vaguely remember playing Risk that I feel bad about dominating early and destroying on.
No, it's for the kids. Don't feel bad.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad for the people that I stomped on.
It's, don't feel bad. It's for the kids.
We played Zombicide, which that's where you helped.
I have a fun story about this too. So, we turned on your stream, and we're like, oh, this looks cool, because you'd retweeted Ken tweeting about it. See, like, this looks cool. Within 10 seconds, Alfie puts down a bag of gummy bears over half the feed.
Yeah.
So we take a screenshot. I'm laughing. I'm like, we should just send this to him. Because the screenshot just looks like, yo, Noise Maze, to hell with your feed. So we sent it to you. Right after we sent it to you, she moved the bag.
And yeah, like, well, oh, yeah, because that was like...
No, this is... So she moves the bag before you got it. You're like, oh, no. But then just as we saw you receive it, she put the bag back.
Okay.
And then we saw you go, like, hey, can you move the bag? And I was killing myself.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, even from the angle of me sitting there, which was, like, opposing the phone, I wouldn't have guessed that that bag was anywhere in the field of view of it. So I don't know if it was just a wide shot or just... phrasing of staging or whatever, but
it was Noise Maze's fault at the end of the day.
I mean, probably,
you know, he should be marking off his blocking lines better. You know, he wants to call himself a cameraman. I don't know,
but no, so that was fun. Played what else did we play? Played Firefly, the board game.
I didn't quite get it straight, and I kind of wanted, maybe it's a little egotistical, what did we do to you precisely?
Oh, what you guys did.
So, when you said, what do you want to do? I think I told you, do the worst thing. And, yeah. Because I didn't know what you were doing.
In Zombicide, we were playing Zombicide. So in Zombicide, you play as a bunch of human survivors with a goal. And our goal was to find a key to get into a building, to find a helicopter key in order to get in the helicopter and get away from the zombies. So the humans get their turn, and then the zombies get their turn at the end of the overall, like, game turn.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that, you roll so many dice, and those dice determine where the zombies show up. And then you have a stack of cards that have the different zombies that could show up. So it's like a regular walker or a runner, which is a fast zombie, or a fatty, which is a fat zombie that comes with two more other zombies. And then you also have abominations, which you can only destroy with a Molotov cocktail, which requires a whole lot of searching and luck to get both gasoline and a glass bottle in order to make a Molotov cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pretty much bad thing to have happen. And then Ken was also playing with crows, which I think is an add-on thing. It's birds carrying the zombie plague or something. And so the game is already set such that you're always just on the cusp of being overwhelmed. There's no way, if you guys get very lucky, you can kill all the zombies, but as you kill zombies, you get experience points, and you get experience points, you get to do more things. But when you start out, everybody's in the blue area, and I think it's like at 9 experience points, it becomes like yellow, and then at a certain point, it becomes orange, and it becomes red.
Okay.
Well, the card, as you're pulling for zombies, has 4 different stages on it. Blue, yellow, orange, red. So as soon as the first person goes yellow, more bad things start happening. Instead of being one walker, it might be 2 walkers. So it starts ramping up the intensity. So if you start out and like everybody searches the building and everybody comes out with a good weapon, you're like, okay, well, we can handle whatever comes at us. Well, by the time that you start racking up the experience points, it starts becoming more difficult because instead of one fatty and his 2 others coming with, it's 2 fatties. So now it's 6 zombies on the board. Well, if you're really lucky with your weapons and everything, that might be one person's turn of the group to be able to take that down. But now they've got more experience points, which means the next time they pull, it might be even more. So the game's not designed to have you stand there and mow down zombies. It's like, I can kill these zombies to buy us time to do whatever our thing is. So as it was, you know, what did we say? 2 dice for each $10. That added basically a turn and a half extra zombie to the board.
So I gave you a load of zombies from a very different game.
Kind of.
All right.
We ended up meeting the thing and winning, but with 4 people dying and becoming zombivores, or however that works in Zombicide. I've not played with that rules before, and quite frankly, I don't know on the other times I've played it if we've ever had anybody go down, because we tend to, the group that I play with at work always tends to have one person choose medic, such that they can get rid of wounds on characters and you don't have to worry about it. But it was a good time. I had fun with some friends. That wasn't the craziness of having to get everything lined up and raise some money.
Cool. Yeah, if you keep doing it, that would be really, I think, just a really cool regular thing to look forward to as well.
Yeah, and that was one thing I was talking about, was maybe like going up to Chicago to do it rather than pulling him down here. Just trying to do different things because, you know, it's a good excuse to get together with friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also, I mean, it's a good way to just be like, hey, look, we're going to play some big games. And, you know, next time I definitely do want to have something streaming the whole time. That was something I kind of thought about as I was driving in the morning. Like, oh, crap, I really don't have a good way to do this for a long period of time because nobody brought any PCs or anything like that. So, yeah, all right, whatever.
Right after I saw that, then I went and I watched Giant Bomb's Making of the Big Live Show with their TriCaster setup, and it just made me sit there and go like, man, Aaron needs to get equipment funding from somebody.
Yeah.
I want to run his switchboard, but he doesn't have a switchboard.
You just want the cool like iPad app that runs all of that, don't you?
Maybe at some, I want big hard buttons to push. I want big clickety clack like camera 1, camera 2 buttons. That stuff's fun. I never got to do that at school.
I'm trying to think what else I got. Oh, yeah, I got the Lego Mixels Wave 5.
Man.
Yeah, Series 5 now.
I think I saw those. Like,
steampunky ones that I got. Gox, Kazmo, and Jinky. And I built Jinky, who has big exhaust pipes arms, and I've got the other 2 still wrapped up here.
I found I collected I think the first 3 waves a whole bunch of Mixels, mm-hmm. And I found I'm stepping away from them mostly because they were starting to turn into Creons for me. Where I was like buying them on site, but then I'm like, why am I buying these?
Yeah, I got like wave one and two like that, and then wave three I backed off. I got the space stuff, and then in this wave, this kind of steampunky looked pretty cool. But
yeah, like I like the purple magic ones, so I think I went for those.
Oh, okay,
I think I got at least one or two of them. I can't remember if I got all three, but I'm trying to make Mixels more of a pick and choose thing now.
But what else? I got an Xbox One. That's a big thing. I don't know
tiny,
why.
Tiny weird little things like.
Yeah.
So you can play with everyone who's on Destiny.
Yeah, except for everybody is on like the PS4, right?
I know. I was trying to make the Twitter joke, but in audio where it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, that's a weird looking PS4. I'm like, look, I liked Xbox games before. Just go away.
You know what, though? It's cute that at least there's like this soft kind of friendly reason to have any kind of console rivalry right now.
Yeah.
Because without that, there's no reason. Like, there's nothing it's like left.
I've had a couple people at work that are playing Destiny, and they're not, you know, nearly the level that I see that many of the friends on Twitter and elsewhere talking about it. And I'm like, no, I don't need to start that. I just a few months ago kicked Star Trek Online because I was I've got to grind this to grind that to get this other thing. And well, no, right now there's a summer event that started, and I'm like, look, that's a really neat ship, but I'm not going to play it otherwise, so I don't need to. I don't need to. It's
Aaron,
like Build-A-Figures. I don't need to. I don't need you in my ear. No.
It's a really cool ship. Really
anyway,
cool.
I got Assassin's Creed Unity.
Did
for
you
some,
see that ship? Oh, Assassin's. So have you had an exploding face yet?
No.
Oh.
No, it's been good for me. I think that they got all of the bad stuff all.
That makes it seem way less interesting, though.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping for some of that, but.
Like, this the idea that you could turn a corner and you could get the 1 in 100 dice roll and someone's whole face meat will just turn inside out?
Yeah. I have seen some of the weird physics stuff that goes on in those open world games. What was the one that happened just recently? I snuck up behind somebody, did the assassinate, and then they just like shot 40 feet. Like I just walked up, just went like, and then the guy starts to like fall and then just like, boom, and then like lands and ragdolls a little bit, and everybody does the gasp looking at me. I'm like, dude, if I could figure that out, yes.
That's not a very stealthy assassination, Aaron.
Rocket death. So I just punctured that vein in the right way that it caused a pressure buildup and then launched him.
I haven't heard a siren for like days. You just caused a siren to happen, explaining what you just did. They're like, "All right, Liz, we're the assassination, please." That's an illegal assassination. It's not stealthy to catapult someone's body 40 feet in the air.
I like that there's a police just for assassinations.
Yeah,
departmental.
No, I'm trying to think of anything else. It's been really interesting because I got to spend like a week in France, in Paris, in high school. And occasionally I'll see, you know, some of the landmarks that I remember going to, it will hit because, hey, they're the French, you know, Parisian landmarks that you got to go to, and just be like, just have like that flashback moment to sophomore, junior year of high school and be like, I remember this. Well, one of them is a cathedral that has all these beautiful stained glass windows that they talk about in World War II. They took them all out and they hid them. Underground and out and away so that they wouldn't get destroyed because it was a national treasure, and standing in there just be like, yep, I remember that. And that was like right after that is when we went, there's a perfumery that was two blocks away that all the girls in the group wanted to go to because they found out that they could get the like brand name perfume for super cheap prices. And it was just like this moment of just like whoosh, 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 remembering that trip.
When you said flashbacks, I thought you were going to tell me that when you were in France, many, many years ago, you also saw someone get fired 40 feet into the air.
What? Not that I can talk about.
This
that
is the cathedral where I saw the assassin run up behind the guy and shove a knife in his back and then shoot him across the room. And then his face exploded.
Yeah. Look, there's a reason I messed up, okay? That was a weird summer, all right?
Are you doing any of the multiplayer stuff in it, too? Or is that something you have to have friends for? Like on a friends list? Not.
No, you can.
You have
you can
friends,
do
Aaron.
Open,
but I mean, a
you
friends
can do
list.
It open, but I've had some issues of like it'll be 4 diamond out of 5 or whatever, which means it's a difficult thing. And then you'll have somebody spawn in that is 1 diamond and has 4 health bar. And then they just stand there.
Like, what?
And you don't have to do, you don't have to participate in order to get the rewards. So it's somebody just, like, coming in and not doing anything while 3 people or 2 people or just me are, like, pulling the weight on everything else. And it's kind of sucky, and I don't know if it's somebody just, like, stumbling into a mission and going, oh no, oh god, how do I get out of this? Or if it's aimed at, well, heck, this is the way that I get the upgraded weapons because you get items out of it once you complete it that are equivalent to the difficulty level of the thing. So it's one of those. Am I being cheesed here in multiplayer, or is this authentic? Whatever, I'll go kill dudes, protect this guy, do other stuff.
Yeah.
Although I'm really glad, at least in this one, that they've gotten rid of the mechanic that I always disliked in Assassin's Creed games, is the tail this person, listen to their conversation.
Yeah, now you just walk up and shove a knife in their back.
Yeah.
And they shoot 40 feet into the air.
Yeah. It's always aggravated me because it's that level of, like, you have to get so close, but then stay far back. But you can't get too close because then they'll spot you and then come at you and you got to restart. But if you get too far away, then you can't hear what they're saying. But there's no good place. Oh, look, there are 8 dudes here and there's no building to go over, no crowd to hide in. So you have to figure out how to sneak in, do this. And it was very not fun.
It's a very arbitrary form of keeping the bar in the green part in the middle.
Right.
I always felt like it's basically that, except sometimes you run up a wall if there are guards. And it's like, well, that's neat. But otherwise, I feel like I'm keeping a green bar in the middle.
Yeah, that, and occasionally, like all Assassin's Creed games, it has the twitchiness of like, no, I'm just trying to run. I don't want to run up this wall to leap over to grab this. No, I'm trying to slowly go forward.
And you'd think that by now, you know, maybe the physics of all the walking could have been cleaned up, you know, to feel nice and natural, mm-hmm. given how many of these games there are.
Yeah, that, and it's like there's your standard walk is a little bit slower than anybody else's walk, but the slightest bit of run is faster than.
Oh, I hate that when I'm trying to walk with someone who's talking to me.
On the escort missions or the follow this person while we do a little bit of exposition going from place to place, you're just like,
it kills my immersion. Yeah, no. When it's like, I'm a character and here's my mentor talking to me, and I'm going like, like while he's talking to me, like I feel like an idiot. I'm like, who's This isn't a cool assassin guy. This is some dink who's like running around between like chairs.
They do that all the time. Like, I booted up Skyrim for the first time in like a year the other week, and the first thing I had
Skyrim
to do was
horrible about it.
Oh my gosh. It's like, okay, walk, run, walk, run.
Because I just want to, I always imagine, like, well, what's the character talk to me thinking? Who's like, why is it you stop walking every 5 seconds and come running after me and then stop?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can't walk at your pace. It's all quantified.
And I had one mission that I just had to quit and put down because the first time I played it, for whatever reason, it was 2 people I had to protect. And dumb pathing plus crowd plus interferences, there was like a 40-meter difference between where the 2 of them were. And so I was sitting there like trying to run into the one that was in the back to get them knocked around the corner of what they were stuck on. And I was just like, they're getting killed. So book ass over there, kill the one person. And then you see the other one's health bar is going down. It's just like, nope, that's it.
The worst thing a game can do to me is any kind of protect/escort mission. You just described my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, now there's one with bad pathing and glitches too. So, Merry Christmas. I just caught on Twitter that apparently the guy who played Screech in Saved by the Bell has added to his post-Saved by the Bell mythos. Apparently he's been convicted of stabbing someone on Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Well, Aaron, is that your off-topic haul?
I think so.
All right. Well, TJ, did you off-topic it this last week?
Yeah, I did a bit of off-topicing.
Nothing as cool as Screech, I'm sure.
How could I?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you how you could find someone on Christmas Day and then stick a knife in them and then get caught and convicted. You'll be cool like Screech.
Okay, so I've got half of that down.
Yep.
Okay. Halfway there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not convicted. No. Convicted of two misdemeanors in stabbing case. Oh, I didn't see the word case. I thought that was an actual crime. It could be convicted of misdemeanors in stabbing. And I was like, that's oddly specific. Anyway, I'm probably getting stuff wrong. I'm reading this off Twitter, all right? So if I get some stuff wrong, I apologize. What did you do that was off topic, TJ?
Well, it's coming close to a convention for me, so a lot of the off topics have been things that will never be opened up or ever breathe air again. So a lot of non-event stuff.
Buying stuff at the right time.
Absolutely.
All right.
Things I'm proud of is like, okay, I can only find this rare toy at like $50 on eBay. Or I go to Mandarake and get it for $10. Hmm.
You need to not look at Mandarake. Is my advice.
Believe me, these days I try not to.
Yeah, I've been keeping away from there. I pop in to look at their Transformers now and then just to see what's up, but then yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, I've got two bookmarks. Say new Transformers, they release another Lockseed.
I have the Gaim page bookmark because I still like to keep an eye on that stuff. I just saw there's a Sigurd Cherry Energy Lockseed up for 7,000 yen, so that's still happening.
Wow,
he's still a popular guy.
I keep that link just to see if they still have like $1,500
proper small prices. That's why we're shopping on Mandarake. $1,500.
No, I every now and then just like, do I want Kiwami arms now?
Nah,
not yet.
900 one day. Yen. 900. Wait for 900.
You'll get there.
What did you get?
God, stuff that I actually play with, because that's actually something I can discuss. One of the orders I end up making at Mandarake, just because it was there and I hate to order just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something that has been sitting there for a long time, I've been wanting for a while. You know I hate trying to refer to the series, but the Kamen Rider toys they make.
Oh God, yeah. Those are like the... Are they the ones who used to be the ones with the punch-out card armor?
Yeah.
Yeah, now they're just the super deformed rider figures.
Yeah, the little super deformed candy toy rider figures, and they sold a bunch of them now. But those ones that used to have the cards, the punch out cards, always interested me. And that series had a Gills, so I have the little tiny Gills now.
Cool. I might have that Gills. I got one set of them many years ago, but I can't remember what set it was anymore.
But it's a neat little figure. I mean, 2 points of articulation. Everything's nice and shiny on him.
Mm-hmm.
All nice and metallic-y. The punch-out card gimmick is weird.
Yeah. Like, did the card form into an animal, too?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I had a Ryuki, I think, from that.
Yeah, so, Gills has this, like, really demented, like, hellish bug beast thing.
Yeah.
It's just, like, this thing that's, like, 50% horn. But it looks kind of neat in, like, being a creature composed mostly of horns, blades, and tentacles.
That's how I like it.
Mm-hmm. It's a bizarre little thing. It's a neat little gimmick just to figure something to do with the extra bits. The armors on those always, like, really struck me as odd because most of them weren't based on any armor they ever had.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's a ton of spiky bits and blades to stick to their shoulders and heads.
That's why I kind of got bummed out when it just became a, like, you know, figurines of riders line. Because I was like, I like the creative end of it where you were kind of making stuff up.
Yeah. But Gills was like the only one that makes sense because his actually kind of looks like Exceed form.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a proper little upgrade toy.
Yeah. Which,
that appealed to me as well.
Are you thinking of trying to track down, like, one of those, like, set of ball joints for model kits and, like, carving some joints into him. That was a thing I've seen people do with the Kamen Rider figures.
No, I'm not that like oh, I need this to be super articulated. No, I don't.
I do. No, I don't. It's too much work.
I like him how he is. So that was a neat little thing. On a vastly different scale. So, I found out about this toy line that X-Play does called their Gigantic series.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't good. This is basically like super giant PVC statues type stuff.
Excellent.
And I found out because they announced a Mega Man.
I think I've seen pictures of that Mega Man back when it got announced a while ago, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been known about for a while, but they delayed it like 2 months.
Yeah, I think I saw photos of that way back. It was making the rounds because that was around the time when people were joking about how much Capcom loves Mega Man.
That's still quite a joke.
Yeah.
That just makes me sad. But I got this gigantic, like, it says PVC on the box, but I can't see this being PVC. It's just like, it's very vinyl-y.
If it's thick enough, I could see PVC. Like, if it's not rotocast, if it's like dead solid PVC.
Oh, no, it's not dead solid.
Okay.
Like, yeah, this was rotocast.
Oh, weird. Must be like a, I don't know, I guess a proper durometer to be stiff. Rigid durometer. It's my porn name.
Well, at 13 inches tall,
mm-hmm.
I would assume it'd be a little bit stiffer. Like you'd need like PVC, I guess, to maintain that weight and that height.
Yeah.
But it's an extremely good figure. Like you don't get articulation, you get a swappable head, which is a nice touch.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically just a gigantic plastic statue of Mega Man, and what appealed to me about that is like for like even after shipping overseas, this thing was still under $100.
Cool.
It shocked me because the look of it, the mold and the paint job on the head and all the body, it's so good. It looks like Inafune drew it and it walked right off the page.
Oh, nice. So it's got like a very lively look.
Yeah, it looks like dead on. That is Mega Man. As opposed to, if you look at any of the high-end statues going around, because there's like two or three right now, and the sculpting on them, I don't know what they did, they all look so bad.
Yeah, I think I saw some comparison photos, again, like back when this stuff was more recently announced. I remember the discussion now.
Yeah, because it's, like, I don't know what happened to, although they all have this, like, really, like, weird, like, poorly sculpted face. It's very mushy, kind of. It looks like a kid's Play-Doh project from some angles. Like, yes. It's hard to describe. It's not good. And those things range, you know, close to 200, 250.
That's all production cost, I guess.
I hope so. I hope it wasn't the artist who got paid for that. But this mass-produced plastic import, you know, completely trounces it.
Oh, nice. And I mean, also, it's a sounds like a good piece of Mega Man Rockman merchandise in mm-hmm. 2015. And so that must give it a big up already.
And there's an X due in about a month.
Nice.
He's even bigger.
You just got to get, like, everything they put out and then line them along, like, I don't know, the edge of your roof or something.
Oh, I'm sure people collect the line because what they do most of is, like, Dragon Ball Z stuff.
Hmm.
So I'm sure there's just someone who has, like, one wall of the room dedicated to these gigantic things.
Whenever someone who makes Dragon Ball stuff to a decent quality then makes something else, I always get excited because I'm like, all right, I can participate now. Like, nothing against Dragon Ball, it does nothing for me. And I see really cool Dragon Ball stuff, and I'm like, man, do something that I understand. I want to take part.
No, that's about all I did.
All right. Well, that about brings us to the end of the show, then. I was going to do some joke about the mushy looking sculpts and something about Nova Prime and Lyo Convoy's head sculpt, but that's too easy and too abstract. So we'll just move on to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening. Aaron and TJ, thank you for joining me. We'll be back next week. TJ, you mentioned you are probably out next even episode because you're going to be at the Metricon. So it's
hanging out in Tampa.
It's that time of year again. Conventions are happening. BotCon is next month as well. TFCon's the month after that. So it's going to get all hot and heavy. Lots of, hopefully, lots of convention news. Kind of a bummer if there isn't lots of convention news. But we'll have stuff to talk about here and there. And we'll be back next week with more Transformers talk. So in the meantime, stay frosty and, try to stay frosty. It's hard depending where you are right now. We just had a humidity thunderstorm today, and that's always good because that means it's going to be thick out there.
We've been storms all day. I've tried twice to go out and do some work out in the yard, and each time it has just opened up.
It's like the sky is telling you, you get back inside.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you go back inside there?
You think you can leave? No.
Yep. Meanwhile, I am in Florida and it's summer, so outside is hell.
Yeah, you don't go outside. You put on the radiation suit to go across the street to get to the other shelter. Like, that's how I understand it works over there.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And then, as far as I understand, Arizona's like that, except it's also dry, so you actually die when you go outside. I don't understand some of those. I don't know. Fix it, America. Thanks, and good night.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.